So I want to talk about make your clock count for Christ this morning. And this greatest enemy that you will ever face in the year is procrastination. And the dictionary defines procrastination as the action of delaying, or what we like to say, postponing something. Now, how many people sitting here this morning, you know in your heart what you should do, but you keep putting it off? That's it. All guilty. An interesting thing about procrastination is that actually it is so easy to justify. And one day, I'll get serious about my relationship with God. Or one day, that magical one day, I'm going to forgive the person who hurt me. Or one day, I'm going to get my finances in order. And for many people, trust me, as I travel the globe and I minister to a lot of people, you know, I discovered that a lot of people have this one day where there will be an opportune time, a pristine time for them to find ministry and start serving God, and really start serving God. I believe if the enemy cannot get you to be outright disobedient, his next plan of attack is to deceive you into putting it off. You know, you and I know what we should do, but we just don't do it. Good intentions do not equal obedience. We all pass on good intentions, trust me. 100% upon 100%. Obedience? Well, don't know how many zeros there. Or just zero. Whenever God is speaking to your heart and you keep putting it off, that's going to rob you of your joy, your victory, and it'll keep you from God's very best for your life. Someone said this, procrastination is a sin. Delayed obedience is actually deliberate disobedient. Well, that's pretty strong stuff, isn't it? Right? Just seemingly the innocent act of just delaying things, you know, could be a deliberate disobedient. So procrastination, if you think carefully, procrastination and disobedience are actually two shades of the same sin. It's like two sides of the same coin. So I have this morning two scripture verses concerning our time and its relationship to our somehow innate ability to delay things or to postpone the required action of us. So at the outset of this brand new year, it's brand new literally, but in terms of Lunar New Year, all right? Even though it's not very far from the end of last year, the calendar year. At the outset, I thought it might be good this morning for me, you know, to gather our thoughts concerning this relationship between time and our, you know, seemingly incredible default ability to delay things, to postpone things, to procrastinate. So Psalms chapter 90, verse 12, the psalmist wisely observing and suggesting to teach, asking God to teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And the Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, this is what he said, therefore, be careful how you walk, meaning how you live your life, all right? Not as unwise men, but as wise. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is making the most of your time because the days are evil. Now, let me ask you a very simple question. Do you reckon the days are evil in our times? So I want to get a few thoughts with you, three thoughts. First thought is this, that time, it's a gift from God. That God is the creator of time, and the Lord has given us time to work, to play, time to laugh, time to labor. Now, has it ever occurred to you that for you and I to stop, to cease living, God would not have to take our life? All that God would have to do is to stop giving us life. And hence the old prophets in Lamentations chapter 3 verse 22, this is what he said, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." Why? Because God's compassions fail not. They are new every morning. How awesome is that? Every day, every single day, it's a gift from God. Now just imagine with me, if someone deposits 86,400 cents, you know, into your bank account every day for the rest of your life. Wouldn't that be nice? And now that's $864 every day, 7 days a week. But there is one stipulation, and that is that you've got to spend all that money the same day. I know some of you said, that's no worries, that's easy. I just walk the shopping mall and you'll be gone. Imagine you've got to spend all that money that same day. No balance will be carried forward to the next. And each evening, the bank will cancel out your account, whatever sum you failed to use. Nice, huh? Well, I want you to know that's what we really got from the Lord. That God deposits into our bank of time 86,400 seconds every day. That's 1,440 minutes, or what we call 24 hours. And you really lose it when you don't make it count. When you allow your clock to tick away indiscriminately and wastefully and not realizing your calling, your mandate to live and to shine for Him. You see, the same stipulation applies because God does not allow any one of us, any of our time, to be carried over on credit to the next day. So life is like a coin. You can spend it any way you want, but you can only spend it once. Now, if you think my story about the bank deposit is too far-fetched, all right, can I say that the ancient Israelites got just that? The book of Exodus chapter 16. That's an incredible story there, where the Israelites, the ancient Israelites, discovered their daily provision from God. Every day, manna from heaven. But anything kept overnight is spoiled. It's gone. Perished. Not edible anymore. Just the provision for that day. If you understand what I'm saying this morning, you will know that the gift of time equals to responsibility and, more importantly, accountability. That the gift of time, as much as we loved it and we enjoy it and we are great beneficiaries of it, that the gift of time is actually serious business indeed. Because you can only live it once. I'm 66 years old now. I know I look like 45. Thank you. And, you know, many days, up until just a few days ago, I was just thinking, Lord, where did all that time went? I mean, some days I wake up thinking I'm still a school boy, you know, in my school uniform. No wonder God puts eternity in our hearts. I just attended a seminar over the weekend, Friday and Saturday, about the genealogy of the patriarchs. You know how God works the redemptive story through that genealogy, right from Adam all the way to Noah, and all the way down through the Tower of Babel and onto Abraham, and how in the earlier five generations, in that 10 generations between Noah and Abraham, how those generations before Noah have such longevity that Methuselah lived 969 years. And by the time he got to Abraham, he was 175. And then Moses died at 120 years old. And the psalmist says, our lifespan is but 70+10. And how time has been so shortened for us. The time is actually serious business indeed. The second thought I want to gather with you is that not only time, it's a gift from God, that time equals opportunity. That literally, it means opportunity. Time is not something that is just passing, but time is an incredible opportunity for each and every one of us. So the Bible says, because the days are evil, we are to buy up opportunity. In other words, we got to be great custodians of our time. And if we are nothing good at nothing else, we got to be really good with how we manage our time. Our modern world call it time management. But I actually think that a better way to look at it is that you and I must always be found to be at the right place buying up our opportunity. The Apostle Paul suggests we live wise ways for evil days. He tells us to take advantage of every opportunity. And may I suggest the new year is jam-packed with opportunity. You see, the opportunistic character of our time implies that time is also temporal. In other words, it won't stay around for too long. It will go away. Let me give you some statistics to scare you. Did you know that in a lifetime, the average person would spend 6 months stopping at a traffic light, 8 months opening junk mails, 1 year looking for misplaced objects, usually car keys or house keys? Don't put up your hands, you guilty soul. Listen to this, ladies. 4 years doing housework. You should charge for that. 5 years waiting in line. So don't go to the bank anymore, okay? 6 years eating. Some of you will love that. 15 years working, and I love this last one, 20 years sleeping. No wonder the psalmist says in Psalms 39 verse 4, show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days, and let me know how fleeting is my life. And of course, King David prayed in Psalms 90 verse 12 to teach him to number his days, that he may present, you know, to God a heart of wisdom. Now, wisdom is the art of spending time wisely. See, our problems, our innate problems, cultural even, you know, in terms of our societies, is that it stems from overestimating the time we have left. We think we have all the time in the world, don't we? Or that time can be quarantined as we like. So when I'm ready, I'll do it. So we say to ourselves, don't worry, you know, take it easy, you know, no worries. I'll serve the Lord when I'm ready. I'll serve the Lord when I'm better positioned. And we assume, wrongly of course, that time is on our hands, when clearly it is not. See, good stewardship of our time begins with a realization that God has given each of us a certain number of days to live. And therefore, we do not allow procrastination to rob us of the opportunities for spiritual growth and for incredible service to God. Procrastination does not take into account the uncertainty of life. Tomorrow is never in our hands. The wisest of men said in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, not to boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. And so only today has been placed in our hands. So God has set you and I in time, and you know, He uses a variety of metaphors, different metaphors throughout the Bible to remind us of the brevity and the uncertainty of life. So basically, we are not promised tomorrow. We may have an educated guess about what tomorrow can be or shall be or could be, but you and I, basically, we are promised nothing about tomorrow. You and I may never have another chance to do what God wants us to do, to respond to Christ, to receive Him, or to serve Him, or to set aside in dedication, you know, what we need to do for Him. And the third thought that I want you to gather, aside from the fact that, you know, time is a gift from God and time equals opportunity, is that time, and this is most important, I want you to listen carefully, because time is actually coupled, so joined together, coupled with the uniqueness of our calling and our conviction. You see, life holds, and this is no exception for every single one of us, no matter how mature we are or how young we are, life holds defining moments for us. You know, times when God reaches into space and into time and deal with us directly and personally, something really specific, even if it's illogical or irrational, but nonetheless, a God thing to us individually. And in that circumstance, we have to obey, even if it costs us much. Because if we missed it, we missed it for good. You know, it's like paper. Once wet, even though it may be dried out, it would no longer hold the same properties, would it? In our legal office, we always fear spilling coffee on our documents. Because then everybody knew you spilled coffee. The stains will be there forever, you know? Because it's no longer the same. At best, and it is the second best, it will be a shade of his former self. I don't know, maybe there'll be a tomorrow, hopefully. We cannot be certain. Even so, you and I may never hear Christ's voice as clearly as today. We may never have that same strong feeling or the passion that, you know, that we need to obey Him. Today, we may never have that sometime down the track. I have seen in my life many people who miss important opportunistic time. They missed it. And they spend their whole life trying to do service recovery. And it's never quite the same. See, when God speaks, the moment is usually now, the present. His timetable and His planning is perfect, but not for our personal convenience. Let me show you a slide on contract law. Okay, pardon me for using this, but I think this is a very good illustration. You see, contract law usually holds that time is of the essence. Now, what does that mean? It means that time is critical, that there can be no delay acceptable. So if you purchase a property, and many of you do, so you understand this, all right? If you purchase a property, time is of the essence, meaning you have to settle on time. Come settlement date, if you fail to settle, what happened? Well, if you want to be rude, you say, all hell break loose. Yes, If you fail to settle on time, you will incur penalty. You will have breached contract, and that breach would be detrimental to you. Now mirror that with your calling. Time is also of the essence to our calling. It is critical, absolutely essential, that we respond in obedience and in commitment, that we have to seize the opportunity, seize the moment, or we will lose it and have a long life to live in regrets of our decision. You may want it back, but it may no longer be available for you. The old father, Augustine, said this, that God has promised forgiveness to our repentance. And that's wonderful, isn't it? But he has not promised tomorrow for our procrastination. You know, the Bible teaches us that if the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, and we refuse to hear, and we persistently refuse to hear, we ignore him, our hearts can grow callous, or, you know, it's hardened to the point that we become deaf to God's voice. Or as a prophet puts it differently, that God's spirits no longer strive with us. And this is the danger. Some people are always putting off making peace with God or obeying God's calling. And people say it all the time, you know, I know I need to start living right. I know I need to get back to church. I know I need to forgive. I need to do this, that, that. But only as soon as I got something else done. And then I'll be back in church. Then I'll walk with God. Or they'll say, you know, I'll be back in church, but you know that person hurt me or somebody in that church hurt me. No, no, no. I want you to know that today is the day. The time is of the essence. That when we miss that, therein lies the incredible danger that can so easily destroy our destiny. So let me finish this afternoon with one question for you. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? To grow deeper, to soar higher, and to reach wider. What are you and I waiting for? At the outset of 2019, I believe this is the best time for us to say yes. Yes to something that the Holy Spirit of God has tucked in our hearts to do, whether it's the journey, whether it's the mission, whether it's the ministry, the calling that God has set us aside with our very name engraved upon it. I've discovered that God's calling is a really personal one. And more often than not, it makes sense, not nonsense to the next person. It only makes sense to you and I. And if we continue to procrastinate or to delay, you know, or to postpone, then it begs the question, how long will he continue to tug at our hearts? How long will God strive with us for that righteousness, for that right decision, for that right relationship, for that right calling, for the right thing that we need to do? How long before the embers of our hearts are reduced to ashes? So is it time to get a house in order? Time to mend fences with your husband, your wife, your children, your loved ones or friends? Is it time to start pleasing God with the works of your hands, to honor him in the workplace, to eliminate practices that bring him grief? Is it time to surrender to Christ, making him the Lord, really Lord and Master, because the days are evil? Our world is upside down. Good has become bad, and bad has become good, and truth has become lie, and lie has become truth. And what's right has become wrong, and what's wrong has become right. And it's not just Australia, it's the whole wide world. So is it time to surrender to Christ and making him the Lord and Master of your life, the one who loves you and died for you? Is it time to turn away from old sin, the old sinful life, and make decisions, you know, a big decision to become a lifelong follower of Christ? That no matter what you're doing, whatever the landscapes of your life, at the core of your heart, you belong to Jesus. So the clock is ticking, you know, it's tick, tick, tick. You know how loud clock ticks in the middle of the night? Yeah, it's like you wake up at 3 a.m. and all you hear is tick, 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 tick that you never actually hear in the day because it's so silent. The clock is just so loud. And I believe the clock is ticking loudly, you know. As a matter of fact, the way time is traveling is just downright scary. We are in 2019 now. You know, it wasn't too long ago, and I'm sure I've said this before to your church, that the whole world was caught up with the Y2K bug. The year 2000, you know, was meant to be a threshold year for humanity. Some even said Jesus would come on that day, on that year, you know. There was so much worldwide fear and apprehension over the change, you know, computing data from 2-digit to 4. Did you know that aircraft stopped flying on that day? That we had the quietest skies on that day ever in world record because they fear the plane will fall out from the sky. Well, we are 19 years past the year 2000. And next year, wow, it will be 2020. You know, in the 1980s, Hollywood produced a lot of pictures to tell us what 2020 looked like. A futuristic look to 2020, because 2020 was so far away, people can't imagine how it will look like. Well, we're going to see it next year. Just one more Christmas. Time is also so fleeting. And I want to remind you and I that everything in life is made of time. And this very moment rests in our hands. So our clock is ticking down, letting us know that we're running out of time to do what God requires of us. We need to make the clock count for God. We need to make time, the incredible gift of God, count for Him. And that means our priorities may have to change. And what's important may not really be. And what's essential may not really be. That we need to seize the opportunity that God has given us through time and need to understand that time or the essence of time is really coupled with our calling. That we don't want to miss the boat because there may be no delay allowed. So if ever there is a question for 2019 at the outset of this year, we need to ask ourselves seriously in terms of the responsibility of time and the accountability for time, that we need to ask ourselves, what are we waiting for? You know, I've always felt that I want to get up to heaven one day. And trust me, we'll all get there one day. You may delay a little, but you'll get there. And I want to get up to heaven and be able to see Jesus eyeball to eyeball. And for Him to say, welcome, you good and faithful servant. I think it will be terrible. I think it will be horrendous. If I get up to heaven, meet Jesus face to face, eyeball to eyeball, and instead of saying welcome, He asks me, how come? Think about it. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that the eyes of our hearts will be opened. That the days are evil. Our contemporary times are extremely evil. Very ungodly. And truth has become the lie, and lie has become the truth. At every level of our society, our government, that is happening. And so I pray, Lord, the eyes of our hearts will be open. That at the outset of this year, we all have incredible decisions to make. Priorities to readjust, our lives to be on a reset, to make time count for you, this incredible gift from you, the opportunity that you have for us, and how you can couple that, Lord, with our sense of calling, our sense of conviction, that there can be no procrastination, because delaying and postponing things that you've laid upon our hearts will really be detrimental to us. So Holy Spirit, minister to us so that Our lives are found at the right place. Our minds, our hearts, our spirit, our soul are all found at the right place. In obedience to you, in commitment to you, that we will learn to seek first the kingdom of God. That whatever else we do, there may be wonderful things, wonderful blessings, good and perfect gift from heaven. But these are landscapes, and landscape can change. But the core of who we are do not. That we will be found to be good stewards of you, handling our time, the gift of time, wisely. Redeeming the days, buying up opportunities, because the days are evil. So minister to us this morning, Father. Let your Holy Spirit speak into our hearts, into our mind, renewing our mind, renewing our spirit, so that we make right decisions for you. So that our lifestyle, Lord, reflects the calling that you have embedded into each one of us.